think we still have Sister Joyce here connected on. That's good. All righty. I do feel a great need of your prayers as I stand before you tonight. It's, as Brother Terry said, it has been a great blessing already to be here. Just seeing you is an encouragement to me to be able to gather like we have, and I feel like our family here, the Lord just has been so good to us and has blessed us with everything we stand in need of. And I look to Him tonight for those things. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you tonight from the 90th division of the Psalm. Psalm 90. This is entitled A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And we know that Moses was a blessed character in the Old Testament. And the reason that he was blessed is because he was a man that was of God. He not only was created by God, but God blessed him to be a great leader and a blessing to the people of God, to lead the nation of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and deliver them in such a wonderful and marvelous way by the power of God. And then to guide them also through their travels as they travel through the wilderness and even to the border of Canaan's land. And Moses was not blessed to enter into Canaan's land, but he was blessed to see it and know about the promise that God's little children would enter that promised land, at least of those that had left. We had Joshua and Caleb who were blessed to enter into Canaan's land. And the prayer of Moses, the man of God, is this 90th Psalm. And there are 17 verses, and we'll read all of them in your hearing tonight. I do ask you to pray for me and appreciate the prayer that's gone already before. Beginning at verse 1, Moses said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servant, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Great blessing to be able to read a prayer that was offered unto the Lord by the prophet Moses, and also recorded in God's word by inspiration for us today. And we know these things were written for our learning, and I pray tonight the Lord would bless us as we look at this prayer together to learn from it the wonderful things that are contained in it. I also recognize the absolute necessity of the Lord blessing the preaching in order for it to be a benefit to you, the Lord's people. And I need His blessing to be able to share with you the truth that I've really enjoyed looking at this weekend. and studying this week. And I'm not here tonight because I prepared it for you. I trust the Lord has allowed me by His grace to be able to study and then tonight feel led of the Lord to try to speak upon it. So I pray that the Lord would bless that. As much as I've enjoyed it and as much as it's meant to me this week, I won't be able to be of any benefit to you at all without the Lord's blessing. We believe that. We believe that preaching is done in power and demonstration of the Spirit. It's not done by the will of man or the ability of man, but it is just as He asked that the Lord would establish the work of our hands, the Lord has to establish us in order for anything we do to be a benefit. Have you found that to be the case in your life? In order for it to be beneficial, the Lord has to work that. And when it's done, then we can do what? Give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory that belongs to Him. I love to read the first couple verses of this passage because it talks about the greatness of Almighty God and who our God is. Tonight, if we recognize our condition and our great need, we certainly need to know that we have a great God because we are certainly in great need as we live here in this world. That's also covered here in this psalm. But the first verse tells us something that's really important. He says, as he's speaking to the Lord, he says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Now, the hour is not just talking about every man, woman, boy, and girl, though God is the creator of all mankind. It's talking about God's elect family, God's chosen people. And we tonight believe that God has an elect people, don't we? We believe that God knew a people in covenant before the very foundation of the world, and He chose them, and He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, and He sent His Son, the Savior, to die in their room instead. And the Lord has an elect people that have always been, in a sense, in the dwelling place. He has been their dwelling place throughout all ages. We had a God who was taking care of us a long time before we had any thoughts in regard to Him. We have a God who knew us before we knew Him, who loved us before we loved Him. A God who had us safe and secure in the work that He was going to send His Son to do. We were safe and secure even before the very foundation of the world. We were safe in His love. We were safe in His watch care. We have always been safe, and it's a wonderful thing for God's people to know that. Tonight, we all ought to be able to say, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Tonight is your dwelling place as you sit here in this congregation. But when we've been in trouble in the past, the Lord then was our dwelling place. When we've had the good times in our life, the Lord was our dwelling place. The Lord is every day the same. He has never changed. If He's your dwelling place today, then guess what? He's your dwelling place yesterday, and He'll be your dwelling place forever. God, our God, is in the heavens, and He changes not, and He has done whatsoever He has pleased. And one thing He has pleased, according to His good pleasure, according to His own purpose, He foreknew us, He chose us in Him before the very foundation of the world, and He has been our dwelling place. I want us all tonight to recognize that no matter where you think you are or what trouble you're in, or where, I know we're living here in Front Royal and we're here tonight, but the Lord, we're in a far better place and a far better safety than just being in that. The Lord tonight is our dwelling place, and He's the dwelling place, really, of every single one of God's little children. They never get outside of His watch care. He was the dwelling place for God's little children when they were in Egypt. The Lord took care of His people in Egypt, didn't He? Absolutely did. And a whole lot of the plagues, remember, they came upon Egypt. Remember, they did not come upon the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen was the place that the Lord had His people, and He kept His people, and He protected His people, and the plagues that fell upon Egypt didn't fall upon His children, even when they were in Egypt. And you know, that's really a picture of God's little children in the world when they're even before regeneration. God was watching for you before you ever thought about Him. Even when you were formed and fashioned, like the little one in the mother's womb, she belongs to the Lord. That's our sweet hope. That He watched over her, and He, even as she was being formed and fashioned in her mother's womb, the Lord was taking care of her. And she, as if we are God's children, whomever we are, He is our dwelling place. I don't want you to forget about your dwelling place. So that's what He means in John 15 when He says, we abide in Him. We abide in Him. We're to abide in the vine, and He's the true vine. And if we don't abide in Him, that means if we in our ideas and in our thoughts forget about being in Him and do not abide in Him, what happens to God's little children? Well, they, when you don't abide in the vine, you wither up, don't you? You dry out. And then men take you and you're cut off, and men take you and cast you in the fire to be burned. And you won't be lose your eternal home, but you can sure lose the timely blessings of enjoying, abiding, and dwelling in Him. Tonight, I hope and pray our little church will dwell safely in Him. I need to dwell in Him, don't you? I need to dwell in Him tonight. As I stand before you to preach the gospel, I need to dwell in Him. Because if He doesn't bless me to preach, I won't preach. And as you're sitting in that congregation, it won't be of a bit of a benefit to you unless you abide in Him. And He will open up your ears and your eyes and your heart and give you things that you need this week that you didn't even know about that you're going to face. And isn't your life filled with the evidences of Him doing that for you in the details of your life, even as you were in your youth and in your early days, and as you follow your life on through, the Lord has been our dwelling place. And how often has He been there in all generations? He was taking care of us a long time before we had any thoughts about Him. As a matter of fact, when Jesus died on the cross, we were there in Christ when He died. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Is a hymn. We don't sing it yet because we haven't really learned it, but it's one we probably ought to learn, because yes, you were there when they crucified our Lord, because when He was crucified, He took your sins in His own body and nailed them to the tree, never to be remembered against you anymore. And all of the wrath of God that we had merited and earned in our life, every bit of it, was taken off of us and put upon Him. And He paid that sin debt at Calvary. We were indeed there. We were in His mind. We were in His thoughts as He looked over that angry mob that had nailed Him to the tree of the cross. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't believe He had just in mind that group. I believe He had in mind every little heir promise for whom He died. And that is you in detail and in specifics. And I believe He knew every sin, even our secret sins. We read about that right here. He knew every one of them, and He bore them in our room instead. He was really our dwelling place even then, was He not? As He was crucified on the cross. And then He was laid in the grave. Why is the grave not such a fearful place? Why for us is the grave, oh grave, oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? Why is death and the grave something that you and I really don't need to fear? Why is that the case tonight? I'll tell you, if it had been based on us, it would have been a fearful place. If you read this passage, you'll see the expressions that Moses made about what we would be and what we would expect from God were it not for the grace of God. And there's not a one good single thing that we would be able to receive from a holy and a righteous God just based on what we deserve. That's why tonight it's important for me not to tell you what you need to do to get right with God, but rather tell you what the Lord has done, that He has made you right with Him, because He is your dwelling place, not because of what you did for Him, but because of what He did for you. That's what we preach, that ought to be preached everywhere, but it's not preached very many places. We don't want to sit here tonight and tell you all the good things that you can do for the Lord, because without the Lord, you can't do one good thing for Him. Without the Lord, you can't do any good thing for me or yourself or anybody else. Without the Lord, there is none good, no, not one. Our righteousness is, that's the very best we are, but is filthy rags. And even when we would do good, even as a born-again child of God, even when we would do good, we'll always find evil present with us as long as we're here in this time world. And without having God as our dwelling place, we'll never be the mama, the daddy, the member of the church. We'll never be the granddaddy, the grandmother. mama. We'll never be what we're supposed to be. The child will never be the student. We'll never be anything that God would have us to be in any way to please Him without the Lord. And here's the good news. We got a dwelling place. If the church was only our dwelling place, we'd just all be here, a bunch of sinners not able to help one another. The only thing about that is the beauty of the church is not the bride, it's the husband. And the husband is the one whom the bride looks to for all that she stands in need of. The husband is the one who clothes his bride. The husband is the one who makes his bride beautiful. The husband is the one who's the head of the home and the head of that of the house. He's the one who is the chief cornerstone on which the house is built. And when you and I put Him on, we're clothed in beauty. And if we don't put Him on, we still carry this old ugly self around where there is absolutely no good. May the Lord bless us tonight to understand and realize that God is our dwelling place, and in Him life is worth living, and outside of Him, that without Him, we can't do anything. I can't preach, you can't hear, you can't be the deacon, you can't be the member, you can't be anything that the way the Lord would have you to be. And what does that tell us? When you understand your weakness, you know you got to trust in the Lord. As long as you think you can do it, if you're like me, if I think I can do it, then I try to handle it. And I'll tell you what happens to my life when I try to handle it. I make a mess of it. Now, does that mean I throw up my hands and don't do anything? No, it means I found my life and my house upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings, and I redeem the time and I use the time. I don't waste the time. I remember what He has told me to be, and when I go and look for my needs, I don't look to myself. I have to look to the Lord. Are you tonight looking to the Lord, or are you looking to yourself? If I want to say this as clear and plainly as I can. If you and I are looking to ourselves tonight, we're looking to a failure. If we look to the Lord, we're looking to one who cannot fail. Who do you choose? What's the best? He said, choose who you may. The gods over here, your father served, choose one of them. It doesn't matter which one you choose. None of them can help you. He says, but as for, Joshua said this, but as for me and my house, we're going to do what? We're going to choose the Lord. As for me and my house, you know why? Because God was his dwelling place. And even the Lord was the one who allowed him to be able to say that. Listen, without God's grace, none of us would even say it. Moses says that as much in his prayer. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, what a God we do have tonight who is our dwelling place. We want to talk about Him just a little bit. The Lord is pleased when we talk about Him and we honor Him and we praise Him. The Lord is pleased when you and I get together and talk about Him. He is pleased when we talk to Him, and He's pleased when we talk about Him. And it's only by His grace that He's pleased, and it's only by His grace that we do it. So it's all by His grace. So all of it is to His honor and His praise and His glory. Listen what the wise man Moses said by the inspiration of God to the Lord. He says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And you and I know when we go up on the mountains, you can just stand in awe at the beauty of God's creation. I went up on Dickey's Ridge, this week, and went on one of the trails. Of course, I called Sharon and told her which trail I was on in case I collapsed or fell over or somebody would come get me, but I asked the ranger which trail was easy, and he gave me one that was easy. Well, part of it was easy, the downhill part, and that was the first part. The second part wasn't quite as easy, so I took a little longer on the trail. But I just stood in awe. After I got up there at Dickey's Ridge, I went over there, and after I was wore out and tired, I went over there and sat down on a big rock right down at the bottom and just looked over that beautiful valley, and I thought about how awesome this view is. How awesome and what a blessing. You know, people drive for miles and miles and miles and don't see what we're blessed to see in this part of the country in that beautiful scenery. You and I don't take near enough time to look at it, because those things teach us. One thing it teaches us is about the awesome power of an almighty God who made that mountain. You look at that mountain, you kind of think, well, it must have been here always, because this is a big mountain. This is a big rock, just rocks, you know, just made of rocks and all. And there it is, and it seems to be like it's going to be there. And I thought about the generations of the past that came across the mountain and all that they went through to cross over the mountain. And those, I walked down by on the trail by one old farm that used to be a farm. I believe it was a fox farm, and they'd cleared all that land and piled up those rocks, and the earth had just taken it back over. You know, the rocks are even breaking up, and everything they'd done and land that they cleared was almost, the only thing that was still clear is somebody was maintaining a cemetery. Everything else had turned almost back into the woods. And you had to look real hard to see the evidences that man was even there. And that was just a few hundred years, you know, 100 years ago, even less than that. And that happened. And we think about the mountains and how powerful they are, but before the mountains were ever brought forth, or ever the earth had been formed, He formed the earth and the world. Before He made the world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. I thought about the one little girl that came and asked me that time, you know, the little girl that comes and the Brother Drake's little girls that ask questions. And the one little girl always is asking me what she thinks and are hard questions. And she says, I got questions for you. And one of those questions she asked me, she said, who was there before God? And she just said, I've been thinking about this. And I want to know, you know, where did God come from? And who was there before God? And I thought, you know, if I could have just turned to this verse, if I just had known this prayer a little better, I could have just turned to this verse, and all of my words to try to explain it didn't get nearly as good. It you know, didn't hit the mark like this verse does. Listen to what this verse says. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting, get this, to everlasting. Now, how long ago is everlasting? Well, that's everlasting. And how far ahead is everlasting? Well, that's everlasting. Now, get this. Even from everlasting, that is from the past, everlasting, to the future, everlasting, get this. It didn't say thou used to be God and thou will be God. It says thou art God. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, before this world was ever created, God, the I Am, was there. Today, the I Am is here. And as many days ahead, as long as it to everlasting, go to everlasting in this direction, and everlasting in that direction, from everlasting to everlasting, that's our God. Now I'm telling you, if you want a dwelling place, that sounds like a good one, doesn't it? Because here's what's good about this dwelling place. The one you're in timely in this world is falling apart. The one you're in your natural life, your home, is falling apart. It's something you gotta, you know, gotta keep. It's a project, right, Brother Terry? It's something you gotta keep up. And if you don't keep it up, it's gonna fall down. And as much as we try to keep it up, it's still gonna fall down. Even, and then when you get to your natural house, this old natural tabernacle, this old body of clay, guess what? It's falling apart too. This old house is falling apart. We talked about that a little bit from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and mentioned about this earthly house of this tabernacle, if it be dissolved. Isn't it wonderful to know that in the future we have a house eternal in the heavens that's built by God and that's prepared for us by God? But now we have the Old Testament, and Moses telling us not only do we have that in the future, we have that right now, and by the way, we've always had it. God has been with us. Now we don't have it in the same manifest that we'll have it in heaven, but I want you to know you're just as safe and secure in the Lord as you have ever been today. And if you get in trouble tomorrow, you'll still be safe and secure in the Lord. There'll never be a time or a moment in your life that you're not safe and secure in the Lord. Not because of you and what you've done, but because of Him and what He has done and who He is. Listen, our dwelling place is from everlasting to everlasting. That scripture answers what was there before God. There was never any time before God. There was no there before God. God is the eternal God from everlasting to everlasting. And by the way, that's God the Father, the eternal Father. And by definition, the eternal Father has to have an eternal Son. That's Jesus Christ, the eternal Son. And it's also the eternal Holy Spirit, because God changes not. And He has always been the triune God, the God who is the Trinity. He's been that from everlasting to everlasting. God changes not. Get this. Those whom He loved, He will always love. There's none who can pluck them out of the Father's hand. Every one of them He gave to the Son. The Son loved them as well. If the Father loved them, the Son loved them because He and the Father were one. And the Son came and died for them so that they might be with Him, that we might be one with Him. What a great, great blessing and wonderful truth this is to know that even from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. Thou art God. And then He says this in verse 3. And this is really expressing what comes upon men because of what men are by nature. It's talking about the fall. He says, Thou turnest man to destruction. That word could also be death. And saith, Return, ye children of men. Remember over in Genesis 3, it says, It's dust thou wert made and formed out from the dust, and unto dust you shall return. Somebody might ask, well, if God is God, why is that the case? Listen, it's the case because God is God. He said to Adam and to Eve, On the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When Eve ate and then gave to her husband Adam, and he ate, and they partook of that forbidden fruit that God said, Thou shalt not eat of this tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in the day thou eatest of thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm telling you, the curse fell upon mankind and the world that we're living in, and the reason we see decay and sickness and illness and wrinkles and bad knees and weak eyes and teeth that fall out and cavities and all those things that come upon man as a result of that is the fall. Now, men might not want to talk about sin, but I'm telling you the evidence of sin is every day in our life, and our bodies are falling apart because of that, and we have no answer for sin outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we believe. He said this, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years are in thy sight, but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. And I love to think about, even tonight, how God thinks about time. You know, I've been thinking a lot about time. When you retire, you got a little more time to think about time. And you think about how quickly it passes. And it is, isn't it? It's just passing. Everybody knows it's passing. And our life is like a tale. He says this, our life is like a tale that is told. And it seems like there's a lot of sorrow and a lot of heartache, a lot of illness, a lot of physical pain, a lot of physical suffering, a lot of things that are in this world. And just think for a minute though, as much as we might have suffered a little bit in our lives, and really when you think about how much we suffered, we've really been blessed not to suffer that much in our lives. The Lord has been good to each and every one of us. But think about what it would have been had God left us in the fallen state that we were in without His intervention. Think about what we could have expected from the holy, righteous God that is eternal, that is from everlasting to everlasting. He would not have been our dwelling place. What would our lives be like if He were not our dwelling place? What would our lives been like if He had not loved us? What would our lives been like if He'd have left us in our sins? What would our lives been like if we just got from God exactly what we deserved? Well, what would it have been like for us? And I'll tell you, as we think about that, it ought to cause us just to fall down on our knees and thank the Lord for His grace and His mercy that He really has shown to us, hasn't He? Every single moment of our life. He says this, For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. When it comes to the Lord, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day as 1,000 years. Remember when the scoffers would come and said, you know, the Lord said He's going to come, but the times have gone on past, and men have said that down through the years, and they're still saying it today. Where is He? I want you to remember this. As you remember, He is our dwelling place right now in this generation, and as He will be. Remember this, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. This world if we go by the Bible, which I don't know of anything else to go by, as far as the length of time that this world has been in existence, it's probably 6,000 years, maybe a little more, but around that amount of time. And though men might say it's 4.5 billion years ago, they said that today, a few years back, they were saying it was about 2.5. And now they've got it up to 4.5. Who knows where it'll go the next time in their ideas and their thoughts. I want you to know God made this earth with age in it the very first day that He created it. He made the heavens and the earth. He formed the mountains. He put the seas in His place. He put the sky, the stars in their place. And though if it had to happen by random chance, time would never be long enough for that to occur, because you never get order out of chaos. Never happens. I'll tell you what happens to order if you don't keep it orderly. It turns into chaos. It doesn't go from chaos to order. It goes from order to chaos. Prove this. You just leave your house alone. Don't touch it and see what happens. See if it gets better. See if things go... Just shut a room off and don't do anything to it and think you're going to keep it like that. When you go back in it, has it gotten better? No, I'll tell you what happens. If you leave it long enough, it'll turn back into the earth. It won't even be there. It'll fall down. And that is the way this world didn't just form itself. God created it. His handiwork made it. He created it by the work of His power. The one who was from everlasting to everlasting created the heavens and the earth, and He did it in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And I'm thankful to believe in a God that's powerful. Listen, that's the kind of Savior I need. I don't need a I need a Savior that can reach down where I am and lift me up. I can't go up to Him. I have no ability, no will, and unless he saves me, I'm lost. And that's the truth with each and every one of us. He said, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. I want you to know, God's little children who passed away 6,000 years ago that belonged to the Lord, when the Lord brings them back in the resurrection, it'll be like they were 6 days old. Isn't that something to think about? And as a watch in the night, even shorter than that, because every night has four watches. Remember that Jesus came walking to them on the water in the fourth watch of the night, which means the first 3 hours was the first watch, the second 3 hours is the second watch, the third 3 hours is the third watch, and just before morning in the fourth watch of the night, He says 1,000 years to the Lord is just as a watch in the night, just 3 hours, 1,000 years. That's the way it is with God. And some people say, well, how in the world could all this happen? I'm telling you, you're talking about a God who is from everlasting to everlasting. This is not a weak God. This is the great, great I Am of the Old Testament, who is the God of today and the God that will carry us into heaven. What a great blessing it is to know and be able to believe Him. And listen, if God hadn't touched you in your heart, you won't be able to do it. Because the brutish man won't think about any of this. He doesn't know any of this. He doesn't have any ability. You got to have all that wise stuff knocked out of you. It's hidden from the wise and the prudent, and it's revealed unto babe. That doesn't mean you don't have wisdom. You have true wisdom that comes from above. And that wisdom is greater than the wisest of men. And I'll tell you, some great scientists in the past understood and knew this. We've just recently gone way off in regard to that. They acknowledge the Scripture as their guide. Those who founded many of the wonderful principles we know about today as true science. But any science that denies this book is science falsely so called. And God's little children need to stand firm on the wonderful truth of God's Word. He says, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with the flood. That's man. They are as asleep. That's man's life. Just as sleep. You know how quickly sleep passes? That's how our life passes. Can you relate to this? You know, you go to bed at night and you think, sometimes I'm thinking, I just hope I can go to sleep. And I'll lay there and I think I haven't slept at all, and happen to look at the clock and 3 or 4 hours has passed. And I go like, glad that did that, because then I feel like, well, maybe I got a little rest. If you're sitting there and you watch every minute pass, you're not resting well. But when you can kind of go off and think you haven't slept and 4 hours pass, you go like, whew, I'm sure thankful for that. That was good sleep. But how did I know I slept? Well, the time just went past. It went past. And that's okay when you're sleeping, but it kind of disturbs you a little bit when your regular life goes that way. And you get up in the morning, next thing you know, it's evening. You found that to be the case. You get Monday, and the next thing you know, it's Friday. You get 2015, the next thing you know, it's 2016. Your little girls used to be 2 and 3, and now they're, you know, they'll soon be 22 and 23. And then next thing you know, they're 42 and 43. The little one you're holding is soon grown and leaving your house. And how quickly time passes. Why should that? And listen, it would be a horrible life and existence if we only were here based on what we have and our ability and our strength, and we were just having ourselves to trust in. We would have nothing but a fear. A life would not be worth living if it were not for Him. But because He lives, life is worth the living just because He lives. And what a great, great blessing that is. Get what the prophet is saying here as he's praying to the Lord. He says, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." What that means is your life is just like that. It's brief and it's vain. And it would be all brief and vain if it weren't for the Lord. It's only those blessings we have in the Lord that make it something other than brief and vain. Listen, life becomes meaningful when it's in the Lord. Life becomes wonderful. It's not just life, it's life abundant. Jesus came that we might have what? We might have life, and that more abundantly. And I'm telling you, outside of Christ, there is no abundant life. But in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ, it makes every day meaningful. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. He says, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." I'm telling you, outside of Him, and outside of that He's made it, and outside of Him being our dwelling place, we will have nothing but sorrow and nothing to rejoice in. And brethren, God's little children need to know that if I don't abide in Him, I'm going to wither up and lose my joy. I won't lose my salvation, but I'll lose my joy. Have you ever found yourself losing your joy? You ever found yourself getting burdened down with life and you feel like my joy is gone? Remember, He still is your dwelling place. It's just we need to be reminded to abide in Him and to return unto Him and to look unto Him and beg in Him to return unto us. Remember, this prayer was probably prayed by Moses as the children of Israel have been in disobedience in the wilderness and have been cut off already by Almighty God, and said, "You'll not enter into this land because you've walked up to its borders, and then rather than going in obedience, you refused, and therefore all of you are going to die." Those who were alive when they came out of Egypt, what a sad report that would be to hear. Those of you who have come outside of Egypt, but you will not see Canaan's land. You will die in the wilderness. But I want you to know, even then, God was even then, what? Their dwelling place in the wilderness. And every day they looked to Him, they found what they needed. Did God abandon them in the wilderness? No, He fed them every day, wasn't He? He was their food every morning. God was the manna that fell from heaven. Did God abandon them as far as their clothing? No, their clothing never grew old. Wouldn't that be something, to have your clothes never grow old? Just the clothes you brought every day would be just the same, just like they were the day before. And He took care of them. He protected them, even in the wilderness. But rather than be thankful for all of the blessings they received, they refused and rebelled. And the warning is unto us as God's little children, don't let us refuse and rebel and miss out on the wonderful blessings of living as Joshua and Caleb did in Canaan's land, which, by the way, I believe is more a picture of the church than it is of eternal heaven. It's a place where you and I are able to abide in fellowship with Him. You still fight battles in Canaan's land. There are giants in Canaan's land. There are things that you have to face in Canaan's land. It's not talking about heaven and immortal glory. If it is, Moses didn't get into Canaan's land. Did Moses miss heaven? We know he didn't miss heaven. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? Elijah was there, but he wasn't alone. It was Moses. Moses was also there. What a wonderful blessing it is that the Lord has shown us those things in His Word. And I know I'm all over the place. I hope you don't mind me chasing rabbits. And I hope you'll run with me as much as you can and pray for me if I get way off. He says here, he says, and he's talking about our physical life. In the morning it flourishes. That's when you're young. You know, you just feel like I'm going to be here forever. I know it's just like that. And I had folks at my age now who told me back then when I was young, it's going to be like this. And I didn't believe them a bit more maybe than you believe in me tonight. But I'm telling you, before you know it's going to pass. You blink your eyes and it's going to pass. I saw a young preacher down there at Providence, and I saw him standing up there preaching as a young man, and I just looked at him and thought, you know, that it used to be just a little while ago I was the young preacher in the crowd. Now he looked at me and he thought, but he even said, he even pointed me out and said, Brother Gary, I think you're a little older than I am. He didn't need to tell me that. I already knew that bunch. You know, and I can feel it too. I saw him up there. He looked full of vim and vigor. And I remember the time, you know, I was full of vim and vigor. Now I hardly, sometimes seems like I can't hardly get in. I got to lean on one leg or lean on the other leg. I tell you, this old body of clay is falling apart. But I'm telling you what a mess I would be if it were not for the grace of God. What a mess it would be for me if I only got from Him what I deserve. If there had been no repentance in the sense that he didn't repent that he changed. He repented in that what I deserved, he poured out on his own son. And what he deserved, he gave to me. And I have you not also, we have enjoyed those blessings that we didn't earn, we didn't merit. And he's daily loaded us with those things because of the grace, the wonderful, amazing grace of Almighty God. And I'll tell you, when you recognize that, you can face whatever life presents, whatever comes your way. And without that, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you won't be able to handle it. It's just that real, just that true. He says, get this, verse 7. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. The wrath of God is real. The anger of God is real. And if we're not under the wrath of God, it's because of His grace. I don't believe God's children are under His wrath. I don't believe He deals with us according to His wrath. I do believe He judges us and He brings us under the chastening rod, but that is not His wrath that's working. That's His love that's working. God deals with His children according to love and not wrath. And somebody would say, well, how could God be right and do that? The only way God could be just and do that was someone bore the wrath. Someone stood in our place and took the wrath. Someone took our whipping, if you would. I've often made this mention. I don't ever remember a time. I love my brother, but I don't ever remember a time he needed a whipping and I stepped up and said, don't give that to him, give that to me. I don't remember that time. I don't remember loving him that much. I might rat him out. If I could sometimes get him in trouble rather than me and miss a whipping, I might do that. That was the old nature that I had. But I'm telling you what our elder brother did. Our elder brother took the payment that we deserved. Somebody had to pay the price. We had sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's righteous law demanded payment for that sin. And Jesus stepped in and paid that for us because of His great love He had for us and because of the Father's love that He had for us. That ought to cause each and every one of us to get down on our knees and just be ever so thankful for every blessing God has bestowed upon us. And shame on us when we're complaining about how bad we have it. Sometimes I get to thinking I got it really bad. I'll tell you what, the Lord's been good to me, and I want to thank Him and praise His name. And I believe you feel that way tonight. We just need to be reminded of it, don't we, as we're living here in this world. That's why God calls preachers to say it over and over again. He says, "Thou, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." What that means is, don't think for a minute God just doesn't know who you are. You know, sometimes people treat you nice because they really just don't know who you are. And if they really knew who you were, they probably wouldn't treat you so nice. And the wonderful thing is, I believe you are wonderful and a blessing to me, but I know this, if the Lord hadn't made you that, and He hadn't worked that in you, you wouldn't have that in you, and I wouldn't have it in me, and we'd have no thing, we would be better off never knowing one another, were it not for the grace of Almighty God. But what the God has done is worked something in us that we didn't have in and of ourselves, and as we work that out, it becomes a blessing to you and to others of God's children. He says, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee and our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. That means there's not a thing about us that God doesn't know. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That would be our case were it not for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. The days of our years are 70. That's 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. Which means even in those times when you've been blessed to live 70 years or 80 years, you're not free from aches and pains, are you? Those pains and those aches are still there. Even if you've been blessed by reason of strength with 80 years, the normal age is around 70. Now you put yourself there. How blessed are you? You know, most of us are pressing that. Some of us are past that. And then he says, and by reason of strength, that means the Lord has especially blessed you if you get a 80, which is 80 years. And yet even in that, in their strength, you have labor and sorrow. For it is, and get this, and even though that seems like a long time, it doesn't seem like a long time once you get there, because it seems like it just came, doesn't it? And he says, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now I'll tell you this, if it wasn't for the grace of God, what would happen when we were cut off is that we would be carried into a place of judgment, into God's righteous judgment, and we'd be separated from Him. The separation even in itself would be such a great horrible thing to be eternally separated from the God of heaven. And then in His judgment, we would be in punishment, and the wrath that Jesus bore would have been upon us from everlasting. It's an everlasting punishment. Just as sure as heaven is eternal, eternal misery is eternal. It's eternal. And He says, and we fly away. Now our hope is that we fly away in our soul and our spirit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's by His grace. And the body goes back to the ground, but it'll be brought forth again. It goes back to the dust. But the Lord's going to come and restore that dust and awake that sleeping body and be made in fashion like unto Jesus' glorious body, and a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then verse 11, he says, Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Now here I see Moses calling us to think about what the anger of God would be toward us if He dealt with us according to our sins. Isn't that a frightening thought? If we were standing at the final judgment, not among the sheep on the right hand, but among the goats, which if He'd have left us there, could any of us said He was unjust in doing that? Could any of us have said, God shouldn't have done this to me? We'd be, and by the way, if we were there, we would just be upset about it, even though we wouldn't understand all about it. We would still be spitting, in a sense, in the very face of God as we stood in judgment, because that's the very nature of man. We'd be saying he's just unjust to treat us this way. I want you to know if He'd have left us all there, He would have still been God and righteous and just. The good news is He saw fit not to do that, but that He chose His sheep, an innumerable company, before the foundation of the world, and not one of them are going to be on the left. Not one of them. They're all going to be on the right, because He is their dwelling place in all generations, and He will have every one of them with Him in heaven and immortal glory without the loss of one. And He says, Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. I do see in this, He's just saying, don't play with the Lord. And listen, when we come to church, it'd be a dangerous thing to play church. If I came into the pulpit, it's a dangerous thing to play preaching. It's a dangerous thing just to sit in the congregation and not be serious about that which we're doing. That's why when we sing hymns, we ought to be serious about our singing. When we're praying, we ought to be serious about our praying. I'm not talking about not enjoying things or having a sweet fellowship and communion together. I'm just saying, remember, we stand before Almighty God, and He is in our very midst, not only today, but every day. It ought to cause us to think differently about our life, shouldn't it? I believe that it should, and I believe you do too. He says, so teach us to number our days. Like to look, and time won't allow. It's way gone already. We have Ephesians chapter 5 that tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. He tells us to awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. To walk circumspectly and remembering the will of the Lord and doing the will of the Lord. That is redeeming the time. He says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then in verse 13 he says, return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Seems strange to hear that the Lord might repent. And I want to talk just real quick about how the Lord repents. He doesn't repent by changing his mind. He doesn't do something different because he says, oh, I think I'll just go another direction. But he does spare God's little children for a reason. And as we've already said, the reason that he can and does righteously spare God's children is that the payment was made by someone else. And that someone else was his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wrath that would have been ours, God repented of having that poured upon us. And in his plan and purpose, even it's the way it's stated in the scripture, but even before the foundation of the world, God had purpose for his son to pay that price so that we would never have to pay that price. And Jesus paid that for his children so that you and I don't get what we deserve, but we get instead the grace and the mercy of Almighty God in giving us what Jesus has merited for us. He says, let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. There's mercy. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I want you tonight not to go out of here scared to death. Isn't it good to be able to be at a church where you don't leave scared to death? And you recognize, oh, if I don't get this done or I don't get that done, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to fall short. And you're worried to death and afraid to death. Oh, I want you to know that if we got what we deserve, it would be His wrath. But His grace has given us everything we need for life and all that secures us for heaven so that we can rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to thy days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Which means we do see evil in this world as we live in it. But may the Lord bless us to have those good days as well as the evil days, and an even mixture of those things as he says that here. He says, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Tonight I've tried to talk about his works, and I pray that it's appeared. I pray that you look at that, what he's done for us, and that we'll keep our minds upon that, and his glory unto their children. And then let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And that's why you're beautiful to me tonight, is because the beauty of the Lord's upon you. The grace of the Lord is upon you. I see his work in your life. I see His love in your life. I see the fruit of His Spirit in you. I see and feel that relationship and that kinship that God has given to us. It's the work of God. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands. Establish thou it. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. Sorry about rushing through at the end, but time was running out. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.